This is William Hill Racing Radio.
The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Sunday's edition. William Hill's Racing Radio will have all of the day's racing action covered from 1:40pm with cards from Kempton and Newcastle, while over in Ireland we have fillies listed action at Naas and Grade B action in Cork. Luke Elder, John Budden and Rory DeLaghi will be your studio team providing their expert analysis on the day's racing. But to look ahead to three races at Kempton and one from Newcastle, myself, Michael Wood and John Budden. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Hello, Michael. I'm pretty well. Thank goodness Merzel was a winning nap about a few days ago at 9-1. Otherwise, I just simply couldn't do anything at all. However, very good racing at Carlisle last Thursday and all is happiness, really.
Well, I know Carlisle's a point of discussion that you want to talk about and you've been quite impressed, haven't you?
Yes, very impressed. You know, Carlisle is... verging on the top national hunt course in the north of England. That's perhaps a bit of a statement to make, but obviously Haydock and co have every right to consider they are top of the tree. But there is enormous improvements in Carlisle, particularly in the jumping line of business. And the southern trainers are coming up in squads. There's a very big meeting at Carlisle at the end of the month on the 30th of August. The feature there is the Colin Parker Memorial Chase, a listed event. And See You at Midnight is going to make his debut for the North in that particular contest. And I think also definitely Reds coming up from the South. And in addition to that, Bristol Domay representing the Tristan Davises. So it's going to be a really good race. But overall, Carlisle jumping is excellent, Michael. And on Thursday, the North got their own back on the South. Malcolm Jefferson and Maurice Barnes won the feature races. And they are two trainers actually coming very nicely into form. Malcolm Jefferson's horses looked amazingly well at Carlisle. Double W's won the novice chase really well. And I'm sure will win again. Major Ivan was very unlucky not to win. And that looks as though he'll score. And Maurice Barnes won the feature chase later, the one named after Red Rum, the Windermere Chase, which Red Rum won three times each year before he won the Grand National. He opened his account by winning the Windermere Chase at Carlisle, and Carrick Doone won that on Thursday for Maurice Barnes.
So plenty to catch the eye at Carlisle, and plenty to look forward to. Another point of discussion that you wanted to talk about, John, was the Jockeys Championship, with Jim Crowley crowned champion British flat jockey and Josephine Gordon set to be crowned champion apprentice at Ascot.
Yeah, I think they're excellent, deserved winners. Everything seems to be going well for Champions Day at the moment. Rod Street has the last laugh at the moment. The one thing I don't care for is, in fact, that the jockeys don't go on to the end of the proper turf season, but that's just a personal bias, Michael. Excellent. Jim Crowley has won. I feel a little bit sorry for Sylvester D'Souza, but only a little bit sorry. He's had his championship win last year. Jim Crowley, tremendous win, really, when you consider, you know, that he was a fairly modest jump jockey. I talked about Maurice Barnes a moment ago at Carlisle. I remember Jim Crowley riding a horse called Talking King for Maurice Barnes. He won three or four races in a row, Jim Crowley in the saddle. He also rode a bit for Nicky Richards. He rode a horse called Paper Rising, who won a couple in the succession. And I think his biggest race over hurdles came for Mary Reeve Cheveley in one of the big handicaps. I fancy it was at Sandown, that big handicap before Christmas. And he was a fair jump jockey, but you'd never think he will become champion turf jockey on the flat. Great performance. Josephine Gordon, too, tremendous for her. I just hope, Michael, that next year, when she will not have a claim, that people will still say, oh, what a great jockey Josephine Gordon is, and actually put her up. You know, there's a tremendous danger or concern that when she won't have a claim, trainers will look for other promising lady riders who do have claims, and Josephine may find life harder. I hope she doesn't, because she's a very, very talented jockey.
Congratulations to the both of them. And one more point of discussion, John, is that the action on Friday night, or Friday, shall I say, at Haydock, where Tom Dascombe's Eartha Kitt particularly caught the eye, holding off Cashler Bay in the 2 p.m. and he believes she could be a possible classic contender.
Yes, well, that would be very interesting to see if Tom Dascombe has got a really good filly worth while running at the highest level. And certainly she won very well indeed at Haydock and showed a lot of guts. Tom Dascombe, you should always follow, shouldn't you, at Haydock? I mean, he doesn't train far from the track and has an amazing strike rate. He and Eric Alston are the two I always look for at Haydock, and Tom Dascombe had a double yesterday because he had another winner as well. Good racing at Haydock on the whole, although one does feel, apart from Champions Day, that the racing in the UK on the flat is beginning to wind down seriously for the end of the season. I thought Mun Fallett won very bravely the big handicap sprint at Haydock. I napped a horse called Eccleston, who ran an absolute stumer. Normally held up for a late run. He was prominent and tried to run away from the field and failed to do so. But Mun Fallett made a lot of the running, was headed, and then for the second time in a row, David Brown Sprinter hit back inside the final furlong and won narrowly. So won't be put up much by the handicapper and could well find another decent sprint handicap before the end of the season.
Well, John, let's move on to Sunday's action, and we're looking at three races at Kempton and one at Newcastle, and we'll begin at Kempton for the 2:30. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 2 furlongs, 11 runners in the field to choose from, John. What catches the eye?
It's a tricky old race, this, actually, Michael, because they're all much of a muchness, Class 3 performers. Not Half Bad represents Jeremy Scott, and the Somerset trainer has quite a good record at Kempton, but it was a fairly modest third at Fontwell last time out, so I put a pencil slightly through that. Tindaro has definitely to come into the argument here. This is a horse who's run well at Kempton before now, and was a fair winner last time out. There's no reason why that Stratford form shouldn't be followed up. Then we have several others who, you know, have won quite well in their time. Surf and Turf is one of them. Won decently at Aintree not all that long ago, but was well beaten last time out. Whispering Harry catches my eye a bit in the race. Henry Oliver trains this. Really quite a proven performer, obviously, but hasn't been out since the spring. On the other hand, if there's market support, Michael, for Whispering Harry, I think it needs to be paid attention to, because the stable, Henry Oliver's stable, you know, if the money's down, they very often pick up and land a touch. So Whispering Harry comes into the argument, I think. But the choice has got to be Next Sensation. This is Michael Scudamore and Tom Scudamore brothers. The stable are in pretty good nick at the moment, and I thought Next Sensation was a very decent winner at Newton Abbott last time. From Can I Call You Back? I think that's fair form for this contest, so Next Sensation is the choice.
So Next Sensation, the one that offers the most appeal in these 2:30 at Kempton. Let's move on to the next race of our preview. It's the 3:05. It's a listed race. It's a novice's hurdle over 2 miles, which is the 5 runners in the field. What do you like here?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky race. It looks as though it's a match between Black Quarton and Taper Tantrum, Michael. It's difficult to know quite how good Black Quarton is. A decent winner last time out and was, you know, back in, the, I think it was May, was also third to Western Approach. The form's in the book, but is it particularly good? I'm going to go for Taper Tantrum in this contest, Michael, because it's trained by Michael and doesn't have all that many jumpers. In fact, has very few. But Taper Tantrum has been a decent winner twice at Stratford and at Newton Abbott. Looks to be a horse very much on the up. Must have a big chance. I suppose there could be a little bit of hope for supporters of Sol Starler. But that third behind Highgrove Percy last time out of Fontwell doesn't read too good. I think it's a match between Black Quarton and Taper Tantrum, and I go for Taper Tantrum.
Taper Tantrum, the one to look out for in the 3:05 listed action at Kempton. Let's move on to the 4:10, another listed race on the card. It's a hurdle over 2 miles with six runners in the field. What would be the best bet in this race, John?
Well, this is a really tricky and a pretty high-class contest. Waving Black is probably the best horse in the race. It did very well last year for Oliver Sherwood. Was actually tested in the highest company and runs for the first time this season here at Kempton. Tom Garner rides. I think he could be a young jockey who actually makes the breakthrough this jumping season, Tom Garner. A Raven Black ought to go pretty well. Then we have Court Minstrel, good old favourite of mine from the Evan Williams yard, winner formerly of the Scottish Champion Hurdle, and is a horse who comes into his own at this time of year. I remember him running particularly well at Cheltenham. I have a feeling that was over fences, in fact, at the first Cheltenham meeting last year. Court Minstrel likes a sound surface too, could go well. And then we come to the two, I think, who could well fight it out. Guafa, Swinton Hurdle winner back in May, and ran a very decent third at Market Raisin in the summer hurdle run by Red Tornado. Paul Webber trains Richard McClernand in the saddle. Guafa likes a track of Kempton's calibre. I think it'll go well, but my choice will be Hargan at the bottom. Hargan is just short of the highest class, but is a very decent performer for Nicky Henderson, and Nicky loves Kempton. He saddles tons of winners around Kempton over the jump season, and I thought Hargan ran pretty well when third to Ivan Grosny at Tipperary last time out. Will like Kempton. Hargan is the choice.
So Hargan is the selection in the 4:10 at Kempton. Let's move on to our final race of our preview, and it's at Newcastle for the 3:50. It's a Class 3 handicap over 1 mile, 2 furlongs and 42 yards. 12 runners in the field to choose from. What do you like in this one, John?
Well, I like two of them at the end, but it's full of horses that have in the past run very well. For example, Chancery sticks out in this field. David O'Meara trains, continues to train, has done absolutely nothing this year, Chancery, but he's slipping down the handicap, and were he to like the Tapita surface here at Newcastle and take advantage of a slipping weight in the handicap, could go pretty well, but he's got to improve a bit. So, in my view, have the two sort of French-named horses, Falseur de Miracle, or Miracle, at the top. Ran pretty poorly last time, a modest race, as did Felix de Vega. They've both got form, but they haven't been showing it recently. The two, I think, who have form are Cinder Ban, who's got to have a very good chance, in my view, and represents Keith Dalglish, 77 winners for Keith Dalglish, record for a Scottish trainer on the turf, beating his own record of 75 last year. Stable in great form. This horse won the Cumberland Plate back in the end of June and looks as though he's coming back to form. Could go well for the Dalglish stable. But the choice is Replenish. This is James Fanshawe and Freddie Tyliki, or Freddie Tyliski, as they like to call him. And Replenish, I thought, caught the eye last time out, ran well at Kempton, finishing third to Afjan. I think he'll like the surface, and James Fanshawe does not send many horses up to Newcastle yet, anyhow. So Replenish is the choice.
So Replenish, the one to look out for in the 3:50 at Newcastle. As always, John, can you please recap your selections for Sunday's action, please?
Yeah, we've got three at Kempton, Michael, and we go for Next Sensation for the Scudamores in the 2:30, and then Taper Tantrum, just to get the better of a small field in the 3:05. Hargan is my choice in the 4:10 for Nicky Henderson, and in the 3:50 at Newcastle, the selection is Replenish.
Well, as always, John, thank you for your analysis on Sunday's action, and remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Sunday with Luke Elder, John Budden and Rory DeLarge.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.